Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they describe the wonderful dealings of the Lord and His eternal associates. And they are very nectarian to hear how the liberated souls associate together in the pure realm of consciousness, in the relationship with the Lord and each other according to the various loving relationships. And they're also very instructive to all of us how to behave, the behavior of liberated souls. Prabhupada wanted us to come to that platform of behaving like liberated souls, like brahmanas, knowing Brahman, and ultimately like devotees. Devotee means one who has a loving relationship with the Lord, and a loving relationship with the Lord's creation, and a loving relationship with everyone and everything in the creation. So relationship means behavior, and behavior means exchanges of actions and reactions. So sometimes devotees would say, oh, how nice it would be if everyone in this world were a pure devotee. Everyone had their particular relationship with Krishna in pure love. And everyone would be so friendly, so kind, so loving, so respectful. But unfortunately, that's not the situation here in this material world. It's quite the opposite. It's a kingdom of the demons, with a few innocent people scattered here and there, struggling to establish the kingdom of God, Ram Rajya. So those saintly people come together. But of course, we do have a lot of unsaintly qualities still residing within us. Demoniac qualities, dumbha, pride, ego, intolerance, anger, envy. And these often come out of us. These qualities residing within our mind and hearts, they express themselves through our senses and through our dealings with one another. But when we read about the dealings of liberated souls, in this case, the father of Vasudeva Krishna and the father of Nanda Nandan, or Vrindavan Krishna, Vasudeva Nanda, such wonderful relationship, so sweet, so loving, so respectful and kind. Observing all the proper rules of etiquette, or what they call in Sanskrit, sadachar. The sadachar, the behavior of eternal personalities. Sat means eternal, and achar means behavior. So we are meant to become also residents of that eternal world. We are also meant to become residents of Goloka Vrindavan, and relate to each other in the same transcendental way, with this eternal behavior. Eternal behavior which has its basis, our individual loving relationship with the Lord. As Prabhupada often said in his books, if you love the Lord, then you love everyone and everything. You love the Lord's creation. How can the Christians, Prabhupada would often say, he would criticize their imperfection, or you can say their behavior was inconsistent. I say, I love the Lord, but I eat the mother, eat the cow. The Prabhupada would say, how can you love the Lord? How can you love Krishna and not love love God, let's say, you don't call him Krishna, but how can you love God and not love all of his creation? So Prabhupada would often mention this, that love is all-inclusive. Love is all-inclusive. Love is all-embracing. So this is the nature of consciousness. As consciousness expands, then the ability to love also expands. Because the realization of the presence of one's beloved expands. In the beginning, the realization of one's beloved is only standing there in the temple, the Kanishadikari. So he behaves accordingly due to the expansion of his loving understanding of his relationship with Krishna. Oh, Krishna is there in the temple. So when I come before Krishna in the temple, I better behave myself because he's watching. He's there. So I better be good brahmachari, good whatever. But when I go somewhere else, I'm not in the temple. Krishna's not here. So let me enjoy myself. And so our behavior may be somewhat variant, or what they say, deviant behavior. And then someone may understand that actually my Lord is not only in the temple, but he's even in the hearts of my God brothers and God sisters. And then his behavior, as his consciousness is expanded with that new realization, then his behavior will also expand. He'll start to appreciate the devotees. Namaskar, Prabhu. Oh, Prabhu, please accept my obeisances. Please take some prasadam. Please, I have a gift for you. I bought you a new dhoti, I'm sorry. Whatever. God brothers, God sisters. And then, if one expands his consciousness even more, becomes Uttamadhikari, then he sees, oh, my Ishtadev, my Radhashyama Sundar, they're expanded everywhere. They're within the hearts of everyone, and they're in the animals and the birds everywhere. And so they feel the presence and perceive the presence of their Lord wherever they go, and they behave so extremely beautifully and kindly and sweetly and perfectly in every circumstance. It was often told of Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, he was a perfect gentleman. He was a gentle man. Of course, he's not a man of this world. He's a transcendental personality from the spiritual world of Raja Gokula. But his behavior was perfect and ideal in every circumstance. When some older person, or even some person about the same age as Prabhupada, because there weren't too many people older than Prabhupada, meeting Prabhupada, he would say, oh, please get a chair for your mother. Please give a chair to your father, when devotees' parents would come. Very respectful. They're showing great honor. If some politician or a leading church figure would come, Prabhupada would say, oh, you and I are both old. Maybe you would prefer sitting in a chair. You know, you and I are about the same age. Somehow I'm able to sit here, but maybe you would prefer a chair. Would you like to sit down? No, Swamiji, I'll try sitting on the floor like you. I'll try to be a yogi like you. So, Prabhupada was so kind because his heart was full of pure devotion, full of pure love for Radha and Krishna. So if there's purity of love inside the heart, then naturally it must have some proof. How do we establish dharma in this world? How are the esoteric and sublime and beautiful principles of Gaudiya Siddhanta established in this world? Is it only something described in the writings of acharyas? Is it only something written about in 5,000-year-old books in Sanskrit? Bhagavad Purana. Purana means ancient book, history book. Oh, that was very nice. Thousands of years ago, people had respect for each other. Oh, and they had love and affection. Oh, and they would embrace each other and stand up and greet each other. Oh, that's very nice. What an ancient culture. What a very ancient and very quaint culture of the ancient times. Because now when someone comes, we're greeted with a, you know, a pie in the face and a stab in the back and a smirk on the face and a dirty look. We hear in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it explains the 6 aparadas to Vaishnavas. And one of the aparadas to a Vaishnava is not to be happy when he sees a Vaishnava. Oh, there's so-and-so Maharaj. Oh, I better get out of here. Or we look at him with a dirty face, or we say, oh my God, he's still here? This Maharaj is still in Vrindavan giving classes? Oh my God. Why don't they get rid of this guy? Can't we do something to get rid of this guy? This is not exactly love. And the face is the very clear index of the mind, my beloved friends. You cannot hide your mind. You can think, oh, he cannot tell my mind. I'm a very good actor. See, I'm good at keeping a straight face. No, you're not so good. Because advanced devotees are also good at reading minds. Remember Prabhupada? He would come before Prabhupada and Prabhupada would say, so why are you thinking like this? Huh? Prabhupada, how do you know what I'm thinking? So Prabhupada knew what we were thinking, what we were desiring. He knew the inner core of our heart, what we were even, you know, contemplating. So 2 brahmacharis would go to meet Prabhupada. Both were fixed up brahmacharis. Both wanted to stay brahmacharis, take sannyas. They went in for counseling, asked Prabhupada his advice. And he told one brahmachari, you should get married. And the other brahmachari said, you should prepare for sannyas, stay brahmachari. And when they both left, they said, Prabhu, how is it possible? We're both fired up, we're enthusiastic. How is it that Prabhupada told one of us to change ashram and the other? And then the one brahmachari was in a mood of honesty and transparency. He said, actually, Prabhupada knows me better than I know myself. So this is the advanced devotee. We cannot hide the real feelings in our heart by our facial expression. At any rate, the point we're making is that this verse illustrates the ideal behavior of transcendental personalities. And of course, we may not be so transcendental, or maybe 5% transcendental, or 10%, but we should appreciate appreciate and moreover be inspired by the sterling example of perfect behavior based on a loving relationship with Krishna, which is exhibited by the liberated souls depicted in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is called Bhagavat Amrita and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that nectar? That nectar is the nectar of rasa, bhakti rasa, that transcendental exchange between one devotee and another, be they master and servant, or friend and friend, or lover and beloved. This is what's going on. This is sometimes called the Bhagavat Amrita, because it is nectar. It's very nectarine and very enervating and inspiring to hear about this behavior. At least it should be. And not only that, but we should take these as instructions and saying, yes, we should mold our consciousness and shape our hearts around the consciousness and hearts of these eternal residents of Vrindavan. Because it is the ultimate goal of life, is to become a resident of Vrindavan. Not externally parking our bodies here, like we park a car in the airport parking lot. Car is there, but we're in Europe somewhere. So your body is here, but your mind is in Europe or America. So parking the body in Vrindavan doesn't mean living in Vrindavan. In Path of Perfection in New York in 1966, Prabhupada was explaining. He said, you may think I'm sitting in a New York apartment. I'm not sitting in a New York apartment. I'm sitting in Vrindavan. What does it mean, Prabhupada's sitting? No, Prabhupada, you're sitting here. Here we are. Here are the buses, cars, trucks, everything. This is New York. No, my consciousness is sitting in Sevakunj. I'm with Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari and Vilas Manjari and Radha Damodar Ju. I'm serving them there in their eternal pastimes. That is my internal meditation and my internal service. But externally I'm preaching to serve my Lord Gauranga and to save all of you, or all of us. So this is the real meaning of living in Vrindavan, is to follow in, what do we say? We have this expression, one must follow in the footsteps of the Brijvasis. What does that mean? That you find someone walking down the street? Like sometimes people have this, you see these, a new devotee, he has this idea, I should follow in the footsteps of my guru. So guru goes for some walk somewhere, on a beach or anywhere, somewhere, and then the disciple will walk in his footprints. He'll walk directly behind the guru, stepping in each one of his footprints, and thinks, yes, I'm following the footsteps of my Gurudev. Recently someone told me like this. I said, this is ridiculous. If not, maybe it even borders on the level of offense. You know, to step in the footprints of your guru, it may be equivalent to stepping on someone's shadow. Because stepping on someone's shadow is also a grievous offense. Because the consciousness is extended there, and that shadow we form. At any rate, this isn't the meaning of Anusharan. Anusharan means to, yes, follow in the footsteps, to surrender to the teachings and embody the teachings and exemplify the qualities that he's teaching about and to exemplify the qualities that are being depicted in the Shastras. That means following in the footsteps of the Brijvasis. They have certain qualities, guna, and characteristics, lakshana, and they have certain bhavanas, certain emotional moods and meditations. That may come later by mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna's holy name to realize all of these higher bhavas and moods. But there's also, they're displaying different examples for us to follow. At least we should try to follow and develop the qualities of a Brijvasi. What are the qualities of a Brijvasi? They're nothing more than the 26 qualities of a devotee. Or as Bhagavatam explains, the 28 qualities of a devotee, mentioned in 11th canto. This means, oh, what is all this talk about? Following in the footsteps of the gopis, following in the footsteps of the Brijvasis? Well, one of the meanings of that is Trinadapi Suniche Natsarariva Sahishana Amanina Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So in this verse we hear about respect, transcendental respect. That Vasudev, he got up and he went to embrace Nanda Maharaj. And the same description is there of these two personalities when they met in Kurukshetra. In Kurukshetra, during a solar eclipse, Nanda Maharaj came from Braj and Vasudev came from Dwarka. And when Vasudev, he was already there first because he came in a chariot and Nanda Maharaj came in a bullock cart. Chariots are a lot faster than bullock carts. even though he had a lot farther to go. But you can imagine. So he's a Kshatriya. So Vasudeva came from Dwarka in his speeds roadster, you could say, speeds car. And he got there first. So when he heard that the Vrijvasis had arrived in the holy place of Kurukshetra, he was completely ecstatic and happy. And he ran. It said he, as soon as he heard Ananda Maharaj had come to the camp, he jumped up and he ran over there with great happiness to embrace Ananda Maharaj with great respect. Why was that respect? Part of what is being told, which is not mentioned here but is mentioned there, is that Vasudeva, he could understand as the years went by, and now he's residing in Dwarka and had heard so much about Krishna and Ananda Maharaj, he can really respect the exalted, intense level of Vatsalya Bhav displayed by Ananda Maharaj. The intensity and intimacy of prema and love and affection that he had for Krishna, who he thought was his son. Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan. So he was respecting that. He was respecting that you are more advanced than me. You are on a higher level of prema than me. This is also one level of respect, is we respect people not only because of age, as this verse mentions. Vasudeva is respecting because he was the elder. He was older than Vasudeva. So we respect people because of age, because of position, because of realization, or particular qualities exemplified therein. One reason we respect somebody, he may be young, but he's very austere. So he's representing a quality of renunciation. He's a tyagi or vairagi. He's the, you know, 10-year-old Vairagi, he's a five-year-old, he's only 5 years old, and every 3 days he eats a few leaves. He was respected by everyone. Why? For his age, he's only 5 years old. For his learning, well, wasn't known as a Chaturvedi, or Trivedi. Why was he respected? Because of his quality of tyag, renunciation. What was his name? Dhruva Maharaj. So, age. So one level of person is respected due to his advancement in Krishna consciousness. He may be a so-called, quote, new devotee, but he may be extremely attached to Guru and Gauranga. He may be always absorbed day and night in chanting the holy name and glorifying Krishna. So he should also be respected. When one devotee came to the temple in Gaudiya Math during Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's time, he came and he was always chanting Hare Krishna on his beads. In the day and in the night, eating very little, sleeping very little. And the temple commander, whenever he went to see him, he was just sitting in his room, his eyes were closed, he was chanting the holy name. Totally absorbed, and he was not initiated. And so there was some unrest created in the ashram. Some disturbance. Hey, this devotee, all he does all day is chant Hare Krishna. He doesn't work, he's not, we can't get him to clean the pots and sweep the floors. And so they complained to their Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati. And he said, that is all right, you leave him alone. This is a very rare thing. It's a very rare thing, very, very rare that someone is spontaneously attracted to chanting the holy name day and night and sacrificing their eating and sleeping because of their attachment and relish of the holy name. This is very rare. So even then there was some disturbance, so Bhakti Sananda Saraswati said, well, why don't you advertise in a newspaper, take some advertisement, and say, wanted young men to live in a missionary movement, and all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna. You'll get room and board and everything, food and clothing, just chant the holy name. So they advertised in the Amrit Patrika Bazaar and some other local papers in Navadvip and Calcutta. So, there's the advertisement. Wanted young men. Live whole life free. Room, clothing, food, everything. Only requirement, only activity, work you have to do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, first 1 month went by. The advertisement is running. And one person came. And he came in the ashram and he said, well, I'm applying for the job. Where's my room, food, clothing? I want to chant the holy name. Okay, here's your room. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So he's chanting for a few days. Then he went and said, actually, I have some family responsibilities. You know, my grandmother's problem, this problem, that problem. I have to go now, but I'll be back. So he left, never came back. And someone else came and stayed a couple days. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, after 2 months, he called the devotees and he said, so what happened? How many men came? How many men stayed? And Gurudev, two or three came, and no one stayed. So you see how rare this devotee is, very rare. You should respect this devotee. Give him all facility to chant the holy name. Honor him. Give him prasadam. Associate with him. Chant, sit and chant with him. He's a very advanced devotee. And he received the name Krishnadas. And then his guru gave him Vaish, or you can say Paramahamsa Sannyas, or the last order of Sannyas. And he gave the name Krishnadas Babaji, Akinchana Krishnadas. And he was a great friend of Srila Prabhupada. He used to come here. Many of the senior devotees here have had the opportunity to be in kirtans with him. He loved to chant kirtan. And he left his body, I believe, in Pavan Sarovar, and his samadhi is there in Nandagam, behind at the place of Sanatan Goswami's Bhajanstali. This is an example of a devotee. He was so-called new devotee in the ashram. He'd only been there a few days. But because of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, he was due to be respected. So this is another cause of respect. Oh, he's an old devotee. He was initiated 30 years ago. Oh, that we should respect that, that he's dedicated 30 years of his life to Guru's mission. But he also may not be very advanced in Krishna consciousness. That we have to consider. But sometimes we hear nowadays in Krishna consciousness, or in the ISKCON, devotees say, oh, I know he's an old devotee, but he's doing this and that, and I don't respect him. I don't care for him. Even if he may be a grihastha, he's been serving Prabhupada to the best of his ability 30 years, or sannyasi or whatever. No, but he's not so fired up, he's not so advanced, I don't respect him. But wait a minute. If humility is residing in the core of the heart, then very easily one can find something good about everyone. And first of all, is this person older than you are? Oh yes, he's 60 years old, I'm 25. Well, that's one cause of respect. Has he been trying to serve his guru longer than you have? Well, yes, I'm only 10 years trying to serve my guru. That's all we're doing is trying. No one is perfectly serving guru. Otherwise, we'd be with guru in the spiritual world. So we can honor them. We can respect these things. One who is humble, he can always find many, many points of respect for others. But one who is proud, he can't find any points of respect. He says, he'll find so many points of disrespect. And this is not the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amani na mani dena. We're hearing about this quality of respect that's mentioned here. He respected him because he's older and he offered his respect. Namaskar, namaskar. Offering obeisances means offering respect. So this, the society of Vaishnavas, it is a society where there's appreciation for the young and the old, the neophyte and the advanced. There is a mutual appreciation because the center of everyone's life, whether we're a bhakta or whether we're some very advanced devotee, we have a common center, which is Krishna. And we have a common goal, which is surrender to Krishna and pure love of Krishna. So therefore, let's harmonize on our commonality and tolerate our differences. Not bicker and fight over our differences and put everyone down to a lower position. When we're fighting and trying to relegate and reduce everyone and lower everyone's position, this is due to envy. And envy is the enemy of prema. So there are many lessons to be learned from this verse. And this is it's very sweet to see. And it's a great encouragement to see how the liberated souls, they're always embracing and they're crying and they're showing respect. We see when Srimati Radharani, when she goes in the morning to Nandagaon to cook Krishna's breakfast per the request of Yashodama, she goes there and she's the greatest of all the devotees, the greatest of the Lord's devotees. And she goes and she gets out down and pays respects to Mother Yashoda and touches her feet. Then Mother Yashoda, she reaches down and pulls up Radharani, embraces her, and bathes her with the milk from her breast and her tears, and she smells her head, and she's embracing her. She's saying, oh, you're like my daughter. You should just stay here in my house. You're like my daughter. So sweet, so kind. There's respect and there's appreciation for one another. Respect is not a bad quality. It is one of the 26 qualities to respect others. It seems that in the Kali Yuga, this quality has been annihilated. Respect is out of fashion. It is not desirable. It is not favorable for devotion. We should show how much we can disrespect one another, how much we can belittle and criticize and ridicule each other. This is the symbol, the sign of an advanced devotee. This is quite the opposite of the reality. So, if there's any questions or comments, let us take the points discussed here and try to improve our practices. I'm not going to say your practices because it's definitely my practice. Let us improve our practices of sadhana bhakti, and hopefully someday, by the mercy of Prabhupada and the holy name and the Vaishnava Kripa, we will come to the platform of seeing, personally seeing with our very eyes, we will see Nanda Maharaj embracing Vasudeva. And maybe, like Gopa Kumar and Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we may also be embraced ourselves by the loving arms of Krishna. Wouldn't that be a wonderful experience to fix our mind on? To embrace Krishna with our heart, to embrace Krishna with our mind, to embrace Krishna with our surrender. Embracing Krishna begins now. Now we embrace Krishna by embracing Him with our senses, by surrendering our senses to His service. Embracing Krishna with our mind, by always thinking of Him and trying to glorify Him and spread His glories to others. And embracing Krishna with our intelligence, by always discriminating, this is favorable for devotion and this is unfavorable. Let me avoid the unfavorable and take up the practices of the favorable. And let me embrace Krishna with my heart. Let me offer my feelings and my sentiments to Him and to my Gurudev for their loving service. And let me embrace the Vaishnavas with the arms of appreciation and with the arms of service and with the arms of love, one Vaishnava to another. This is also a type of embracing. So if that becomes our daily practice of how we embrace each other and the world with our embrace of our senses, body, mind, intelligence, and heart, then guaranteed at the end of life, we will close our eyes to this world of birth and death and open our eyes to the world of light and prem and feel the loving embrace of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.